The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Well, as we're lucky enough to do ahead of each season, we get a chance to sit down one-on-one with the coach of the Geelong Football Club in Chris Scott. We do that for Prestige Jayco. We've got plenty of topics to cover. We really hope you enjoy this. And I started by asking Chris what the sense of anticipation and expectation was like around GMHBA Stadium heading into season 2019.
I definitely embrace the sense of whether it's nervousness or anxiousness or whether we reframe it as excitement. I think that's probably a little bit more of a specific answer. We feel privileged, as we've spoken about it quite regularly over the years. Not many of us got the opportunity to choose Geelong as a footy club. In most circumstances, the club has chosen us, and we're privileged and we'll never take for granted the thrill that we get going up against good opposition on Friday night, for example, you know, on the really big occasions.
Nigel Lappin seemed to spend the sessions I saw out at Deakin seemed to be one that was the main voice. Is that a little bit to do with the fact his role's changing now that he's come back into the box? And I suspect that with the change to the runners rule that you've gone, well, how can we better utilise Nigel?
It's really interesting when one talks about the changes that we've made within our coaching group. We haven't had much personnel change, and we think that's a real positive. We're extremely happy with our coaching group and the attributes they bring, but we're always looking to evolve and improve. Nigel actually has a similar role when it comes to training, and it's a little bit more obvious to the people that come and watch training. But then we have other coaches who take a lot more responsibility in areas that are a little bit harder for people on the outside to see. But there's no question that the change to the runner rule has influenced our decision to take the running away from Nigel and have him back in the box.
Brian Cook undertook what was called a health check of the football department and spoke to the media, I think, after the AGM and said there was about 30 tweaks that he'd made. Were there any that impacted on you, or any will impact that we will see in through to the football department?
I apologise for laughing, but it's quite topical because Simon Lloyd, Brian and I were talking about it only yesterday. The review process that we go through as a football department, I don't think has been materially different in any year that I've been at the club, and this is my ninth season now. So the way some things are reported, and they may be reported off the basis of someone misspeaking, but we are always trying to get better. We're always looking at ways in which we can tweak things or get a better outcome. We're looking at our personnel all the time. We're looking at the way we do things, the players we bring in. And I can say with great confidence that process was really thorough. But to suggest that it was in any way materially different from previous years would just be incorrect. And Brian will say that himself if you ask him. So how has it affected me? As you know, King, I don't really like talking about my role. We operate very much as a collective within our coaching group, and different coaches have different strengths, and we try to push them up at various times. So it would just be inappropriate for me to come away from, you know, our football department preparation and think, okay, I've got to prioritise what I do in front of the others, because there's always overlap and we think that's important.
Much has been made of changes to the rules. What do you like? What don't you like? What do you think will advantage Geelong? What do you think will disadvantage Geelong?
Well, I don't dislike any of it. And that's an approach that we've tried to take as a football club for a long period of time. Once the rules are made, we think it's a privilege that we are consulted when rule changes or tweaks are being considered, and some of these changes have been considered for more than a few years now, and seriously for at least 12 months. So my view is that they actually don't have to do that. We're privileged to be in the position where they do ask, and I think they ask for the simple reason because they want a little bit of information as to cause and effect. So coaches should have no influence over the rules, in my view. But they should have a big influence in helping to educate the decision makers around what changes we would make tactically if you bring in certain rule changes. In terms of what we like and what we don't like, I think it's probably not the right question. In terms of impact on the game, I think we've already seen that it's going to open up centre bounces. And I think it's likely that it'll mean more than just the 30 seconds after the centre bounce. It's going to be much, much more difficult to stop opposition momentum. And even if you do want to implement some of the defensive mechanisms that have been the norm from previous years, it's going to be harder to do it. And I think as a suite of rule changes, to use Steve Hocking's terminology, effectively our take as a coaching group is they've tried to empower the offence a bit more and try to destabilise the defence. So for the fans, for the game, one suspects that's a good thing. A nightmare for the coaching box and really difficult to implement. And as a kicker, they said, by the way, we're not going to let you use a runner much to try to impact game day. Much harder for a coach, better for the game. You can make a pretty good case that it will be because for the simple reason that offence thrives against a disorganised defence.
Chris, you've used the word transition in terms regards to Bliss over the years. Has the transition finished?
Yeah, I've said it quite a few times that it's really difficult. I think we're a difficult team and club to get a handle on for a number of reasons. I think we have been in some... We've been in rapid transition for a long period of time. So we're talking at least 4 or 5 years, but probably longer. We have 4 players left from the 2011 Premiership. We have 10 or so players left from our list in 2015. So it's been a big transition. So what's changing is just the rate of that transition. We're always trying to evolve, but it was clear with such a great team with superstars across every line in 2008 that in 2019 that's going to look very, very different. So we embarked, and I apologise if I'm repeating myself, we embarked on something that we thought was a lofty aspiration, and that was to completely transition the list but still stay in contention. Now, the downside of that is when you regenerate the list with players, you can't do it with early draft picks if you've stayed in contention all that time. So I think we've had some success in terms of converting Jack Henry, Tom Stewart, Tim Kelly, Mark Blitzarves, players who haven't come through the traditional path of, you know, A-grade players via top 10 picks. And the part that we haven't done so well, which I think is pretty clear, is convert the first round picks that we have had. So the one caveat that I would put on that is that the first round picks we've had to a man haven't been top 10 picks. We traded up to get Nakai Cockatoo pick 10, and the jury's still out there because he's just had some horrible luck, but we're still optimistic there. But there is a big difference between top 5 picks and picks that are 15 to 30.
The AGM 2017, you spoke about Nakai and you just feared that we would never see the best of him. Is that still a concern you hold?
I think we have to be concerned. Now, we don't want to be too pessimistic about it, but I think any thinking person could see through any sort of dialogue where we said, don't worry, he'll be fine. Because his history now is just, he's littered with, for the most part, some incidents that involve bad luck. But history is also littered with players that have bad luck and never reach their potential. Now, he's not at that stage, but we are concerned. We are just going to be so careful with his return to play because we'd much rather wait an extra year, if it takes that long, to get the best footy out of Nakai when he's in his prime, because the payoff will be significant. And I think we do have a pretty good history of persisting with players who, one, we rate their talent, but two, we've seen through their work ethic are prepared to commit.
Talk to us about your defensive makeup this year. You're tall, and like everybody can see that. You've only got to look at the heights listed next to the majority of your defenders. Is there times that there might just be a squeeze on, you know, being able to play Blitzarves, Taylor, Henderson, all in the same back line?
There will. There's no doubt about that. In the same way that there'll be a squeeze, not just within our club, but around the competition with tall forwards and ruckmen. And a little bit will depend on the opposition. For the most part, it'll depend on how guys are going.
You hinted at your media conference on Tuesday that Gary Ablett wouldn't play every game this year. Do you have an optimum amount of games that you'd like him to play?
I thought I was a little stronger than hinting. I thought it was definitive. I mean, it's difficult to forecast the future, but if he plays every game, I'm a poor judge. I just think it's very unlikely but expected when it comes to a 35-year-old footballer who's of a very high value on our list. There's no question of that.
Should we make the most of what we see this year? Can you see Gary going into his 36th year as a player next year?
I'm really open-minded to answer your question specifically around Gary's future. I'm certainly not prepared to say this is his last year.
Should we temper our excitement about a Savo Radicalia, or should we be excited about a young man that's only played 8 games and look forward to him being unleashed on the competition, hopefully with no injuries this year?
Well, I think the question is, why bother tempering it? So the obvious answer to that would be, will you put undue pressure on a young player that's only played 8 games and he's holding down effectively 2 positions as a key forward and as a ruckman? Let's give him time to go out and play the game without the expectation that a footy club can put on him. But we suspect that he's enjoying every moment. He faced his football mortality to some extent last year with a really serious injury. He effectively missed... I know he came back and played VFL last year, but he just wasn't quite ready, so that's why we didn't play him in the AFL team. He didn't play the last VFL game. It's effectively been a 12-month rehabilitation for him. So he's at the stage now where he just can't wait to get out and play AFL footy full stop. Now, we're really excited about what he can bring to the team. I just don't see the value in trying to talk Asava down or manage expectations, because I'm really confident that he can deal with those expectations. Get excited, I reckon.
Chris, you've been more than generous with your time, but before we let you go, what's something for the Carrick listeners to keep an eye out for early in the season that we might just notice different about the Geelong game style to 2018?
There'll be lots of nuance in the way we try to change things, and I should say there are many occasions where we've gone in trying to shift things within our game style, and this goes for every team. I don't care who you are or how good you are, and you don't quite execute them as well as you would like. That doesn't mean you're not trying to do those things. So we've got some aspirations to shift the way our forward half looks, and the biggest lever to pull there is clearly personnel. So we will go in, and we have, let's use the JLT 2 game as an example. Strip out Asava Radicalia, who was done in the first third of the season last year. Tom Hawkins was the only guy playing in our forward line that played there the year before. That's a significant change, but an exciting one. I think much has been made of the defensive pressure that Atkins and Dalhouse and Rowan will bring, and we really want to prioritise that. But I think they'll bring a bit to the other side of the ball as well.
Chris, we really appreciate your time. Always great to catch up with you on the eve of the season. Best of luck for 2019.
Thanks, Kingy. Always a pleasure.
The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.